The last time we talked about Noah and how it took 500 years for him to be called by God to do something great. And, of course, we know all about the ark and the fact that he and his family got on board and saved humanity and the animals. And the earth was remade, in a sense, with the people. And the animals once again spread out. And of course, the face of the earth was changed in a lot of ways. But as I started reading on in the Bible, the next person that Scripture talks about in terms of somebody that we as Christians call great is Abraham. There's a number of people between, of course, Noah and Abraham, but Abraham is the next one that the Bible, shall we say, concentrates on, looks at in depth. As I started reading about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even most of the 12 patriarchs, the sons of Jacob, who was called by God Israel, one thing that stuck out to me was, and don't take this the wrong way, but the fact that they really didn't accomplish anything that great. They're called great men of the Bible, or they're seen as that by us. And yet I started looking, and starting with Abraham, there was nothing really that stood out about him, other than the fact that he was a righteous man, which is obviously very important. He was obedient to God. When the Lord called him to leave his country and his people and go to a place that the Lord chose, and the Lord said he would make him into a great nation, Abraham obeyed. He was obedient, which of course is extremely important as a Christian. And that's sort of the point that I'm making here. We, as Christians, are always looking for that great moment in time or that great calling. We're looking for something that the Lord is going to do through us that is life-changing, not just for us, but for others, many others. Again, Noah, life-changing, saving the human race. He and his three sons, of course, his wife, Noah's wife, and his sons' wives. But that isn't always what the Lord looks at in terms of being a great person. Abraham, being obedient, went to a different land, and when he got there, he made a lot of mistakes. There was a famine, so Abraham went down to Egypt. He left where the Lord had set him out to. Even though the Lord had said, leave his home, and I will make you into a great nation, he was afraid because Sarah was a very beautiful woman, and he thought, when I go into Egypt, the Egyptians will see that she's beautiful and kill me and take her. So he said to Sarah, who at the time was called Sarai, this was when he was called Abram, before he was actually called Abraham, he said, say you're my sister. So she did, and Pharaoh's officials saw her, and they praised her to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took her as a wife. And during this time, he, being Pharaoh, treated Abram very well. He acquired all kind of sheep, cattle, and men servants, maid servants. He became very wealthy. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with serious diseases, and Pharaoh said, why did you do this? And Abraham explained that he was afraid that they would kill him and take her. Pharaoh sent him on his way. So off he went. He went with Lot, his nephew. They had to separate because their possessions were too great. Land couldn't support both of them. So Lot went down and lived near Sodom. The king of Sodom was defeated, and Lot was carried off. Abram and his men rescued him from the kings who had taken him prisoner. So you could say this is one great thing that Abram had done, was he engaged in battle and rescued Lot. But when you look at it in terms of overall something great on the earth, it really only affected Lot. It doesn't really affect anybody else. This wasn't something great that he had done for the people as a godly man. He had simply rescued his nephew. After this, God made a covenant with Abraham and said, out of your body will come an heir. Even though he and his wife had never had children, they were getting old, very old, and beyond childbearing age. But Abram believed him, and it was credited to him as righteousness, because he felt the Lord could do what the Lord said he would do. But as time went on, his wife obviously had serious doubts, and she gave her maidservant, one that she had acquired in Egypt, named Hagar, to Abram and said, sleep with her, and I will start a family through her. And Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. We also know from Scripture, of course, that Ishmael would always be against his brothers. They would be against him, and that has come true even to this day. You see the wars and the problems over in the Middle East. Abram was 86 at this time. We know that because the Lord comes to Abram again when he's 99, and it says that Ishmael was 13 years old, and this is when the Lord gave Abram, who was now at this point to be called Abraham, the covenant of circumcision. And a point here I'd like to make too, as I said to you earlier, that Sarah was having doubts, and that's why she gave Abram the maidservant to start a family. And by the time Abram, now Abraham, was 99 years old, apparently he also was doubting. Because even though the Lord came to him and said, you are going to have a son by this time next year, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 99 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So here we go. When he was 75, it was credited to him as righteousness for believing that he would have a son. But here he is now 99, and it seems Sarah was the first to lose faith. But it does seem, if you read this verse, that even Abraham was having some doubt at this age. So once again, as we talk about the men of the Bible, even the men we call great men, they are not always perfect. Just keep that in mind. But finally, when Abram was 100 years old, and he was now called Abraham, he had Isaac, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, who became the father of the 12 patriarchs. So it was through Isaac that the Lord started the nation of Israel. And we keep going on through the Bible, and this is the point I'm making, that we read about Isaac, we read about Jacob, and the Bible talks about a lot of what they do, but once again, it just talks about them living. Abraham, being a righteous man, was tested by God with Isaac, and he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. God stopped him. Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and we know the battle between them. But once again, the Bible just goes on and talks about their lives. We go through the 12 patriarchs. There wasn't much they accomplished. We know Judah slept with his daughter-in-law when he thought she was a shrine prostitute. This is after his wife had died. We know that they were angry with Joseph, so they sold him into slavery. But as we look through Scripture, it isn't up until Joseph finally becomes second to Pharaoh that we see the lineage that the Lord had established for Israel actually doing something great. We see that God was with him, of course, early when he was able to tell Pharaoh the meaning of his dreams. He then went on and saved the people from all over by stockpiling grain. But if you go through so many of these different chapters of the Bible, other than being godly people, having kids, what makes them great, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, was the fact that they followed the Lord. They listened to him and they obeyed him. But I want to make a point here, a very important point. Being a godly man or woman does not mean being a perfect man or woman. If you look at their lives, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, they made many mistakes. They did many things that were wrong. And we're going to look at that. I want to go over some of the things that they did right and the things that they did wrong. And as I was looking at this, I was reading the Bible, researching this, going over all of this, a pattern emerged, at least the way it was written down in Scripture. And you're going to see this pattern. And we're going to talk about this. And what I'm really trying to get at is you're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. But the Lord can still, through Christ, consider you a righteous person. Even if you've made some bad mistakes or bad choices or some really bad mistakes or really bad choices. Jumping off on a little tangent here, look at David. David was called a man after God's own heart and yet committed adultery, murder, and later counted the fighting men, which was egotistical, arrogant on his part because the men of Israel were God's troops, not David's troops. They belonged to the Lord, and you could not count the men of Israel until the Lord ordered it in a census, and then each man had to pay a half shekel of silver as a ransom for his life. So there was an order. There was a way that the Lord had prescribed a census to be taken, and only when the Lord himself called upon it. So don't think that you have to be a perfect person. Obedience to God is what's important. Following him when he calls to do whatever that is. Your calling may be to just be a good parent. Maybe it is your lineage, your offspring, which will do something great. Once again, it took Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 patriarchs. Finally, we see Joseph, who wasn't the first son born to Jacob, but the 11th son born to Jacob, who was called to do something great, something life-changing on the earth. As we move into part two, I want you to see how many things that the Bible records that they did wrong, as well as the things that they did right. And yet God still considered them godly men and righteous men. He still loved them. He still rewarded them. He is a God who, no matter what you do, if you repent, if you call on His name through Christ, the Lord can forgive your sins, no matter how bad they are, and take those away, and only look at the things that you do right.